The Lord be with you.
And with
you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "A rich man had a steward who was reported to him for squandering his property. He summoned him and said, 'What is this I hear about you? Prepare a full account of your stewardship, because you can no longer be my steward.' The steward said to himself, 'What shall I do now that my master is taking the position of steward away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do, so that when I am removed from the stewardship, they may welcome me into their homes.' He called in his master's debtors one by one. To the first he said, 'How much do you owe my master?' He replied, 100 measures of olive oil.' He said to him, 'Here is your promissory note. Sit down and quickly write one for 50. Then to another the steward said, 'And how much do you owe?' He replied, 100 cores of wheat. The steward said to him, 'Here is your promissory note. Write one for 80. And the master commended that dishonest steward for acting prudently. For the children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. I tell you, make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. The person who is trustworthy in very small matters is also trustworthy in great ones. And the person who is dishonest in very small matters is also dishonest in great ones. If therefore you are not trustworthy with dishonest wealth, who will trust you with true wealth? If you are not trustworthy with what belongs to another, who will give you what is yours? No servant can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon." The Gospel of the Lord. We cannot serve both God and mammon. But boy, do we try, don't we? What is mammon? Well, originally it was simply a word that meant a treasure, something nice, something good. But eventually it came to represent really the opposite of God, a false god. For example, in the desert at Sinai, the Israelites turned away from the one true God and started worshiping the golden calf. That was a form of mammon. And we certainly think of mammon as money or wealth, something tangible that we put our hopes in, our trust in, which is not about God. So another way we can look at mammon is, in whom or in what do we put our trust other than God? In whom or in what do we put our trust other than God? It can be ourselves, can be other people, could be my stocks and bonds, could be my checking account, could be my possessions, could be family members, it could be anything that gets in the way of our truly being faithful to God and God alone. And to the day we die, we're going to be wrestling with that. And it's not a bad thing as long as we keep wrestling with it, as we keep asking ourselves, what turns me away from God? And we know from the teachings of the church that even though the sin of Adam and Eve was taken care of by the death and resurrection of Jesus and baptism, we're still left with concupiscence. Concupiscence meaning we still have this tendency to be pulled towards sin. And that sin oftentimes can be a sexual thing. I think that's probably the first thing we think of. But it can become anything, anything that keeps drawing us away from Christ. And again, we'll be combating that mammon, that pull, to the day we die. And we probably have more than one mammon. I know I have a whole family of mammons in my own life. You know, I'd like to be able to take them and just smash them. But the problem is they're in me. And I have to keep wrestling with them. And I'm not as good a wrestler as Jacob, who, you know, at least wrestled to a standstill with the angel. But that's what we're called to do, to wrestle with that, to wrestle with that mammon or mammons in our lives and say, am I putting too much trust in this person? Am I putting too much trust in this thing? Am I putting too much trust in this activity, possession, whatever it might be, so that when push comes to shove, I say, no, I can't go out and proclaim the gospel because I got to take care of this. It's another way of looking at it. What pulls us away from being truly free and on fire with our faith so that we are willing to always go out of our way, as Jesus did, to proclaim our faith? And again, Jesus is the model. He didn't let anything get in the way of his work of salvation. He didn't have possessions. He didn't have a condo. He didn't have an account. So he was always free, truly free, to proclaim the gospel and live it. Are we truly free to proclaim the gospel? Or again, have we made investments of all kinds, whether it's financial or in relationships, that are always pulling us away from that freedom God truly wants for us so that we can proclaim the gospel? Now, in the reading from Amos, we get one way to combat mammon. And Amos says specifically, take care of the poor. Take care of the poor. The more we do that, the more we focus on the poor, we're going to realize that everything I have, everything I am, everything I can do belongs to God. You know, I may think it's all about me, but it's not. It's about God. And God has given me all this stuff, these things, these relationships, so that I can help others, so I can love my neighbor as myself, so that I can proclaim to them that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. They're not ends in themselves. So if I have great wealth, I should be thinking, well, it's not really mine. God has graced me with it, therefore how can I show God my gratitude for his love by going out and serving others, especially those who are poor, those who can never return the favor. It says in the Old Testament that it is you, Lord, who have accomplished everything we have done. It is you, Lord, who have accomplished everything we've done. I love that phrase because, you know, sometimes we say, look at what I've done. Isn't that wonderful? Aren't I a good person? When in fact, I couldn't have done it at all if it weren't for God. If it weren't for God sustaining my life and giving me the gifts that I have. So we are called to wrestle each and every day with those mammons in our lives so that they don't get in the way of our call, our commission to be apostles of the faith, to put aside everything in order to serve others, especially to bring to them the words of salvation. And the more I do that, the more I practice it, and like anything else, like a virtue, I have to practice it. I have to make it a good and holy habit so that it becomes almost a natural thing. Say, no, I'm not going to do that because that is not important at this point. I'm going to do this. I'm going to serve this person. I'm going to talk to them. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to go and serve other people as God calls me to serve other people. So again, as I say, it's not going to end till the day we die, so don't get discouraged. You know, I feel sometimes, Lord, when am I ever going to get past this? But the fact that I'm aware of it, that in itself is a gift from God, because then it's not going to sabotage me, because I know I got to be careful about that. And in the Christian community, we're called to share those mammons with one another. Say, you know, I really get pulled away from God in this particular way. Because another person might say, you know, I have that same problem. What do you do to avoid that? What do you do to put some shackles on that mammon so that you can truly be free to serve the Lord? That's what we're supposed to be as a Christian community, this wonderful, spiritual, powerful think tank that's always celebrating with one another our successes and challenging one another when we get pulled back into those false gods, those mammons in our lives, so that we can shake them off and be truly free. So I'm going to leave you with that question, actually two questions as you leave today. Number one, what is or are the mammons in your life? Maybe even want to write them down and think, hey, you know, that really takes a lot of my energy, and it shouldn't. And then secondly, what are you going to do about it? Because God gives us all sorts of insights and graces so that we can not only name our mammons, but that we can begin to put them aside, control them. Not that another mammon won't pop up, don't worry about that, but we can take care of those mammons so that we can truly be flourishing apostles of the true faith, going out and proclaiming Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So again, two questions. What is or are the mammons in your lives? And what are you going to do about it? Many, many solutions, many graces God gives us so that we can truly take those mammons, put them away in the closet, so that we can be the free, wonderful, flourishing, loving disciples that God has created us to be.